You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When Christian Brezhnev first visited the small Greek island of Sifnos in 1972, he was a young, struggling artist looking for inspiration and a quiet place to paint. He not only found all of that, but he also was able to buy a house in a hilltop village, which became his summer residence for over 30 years. From there, he witnessed all the changes that took place in Sifnos, the introduction of cars, telephones, even cable television, all of which transformed an island that had been remote and wild when he had first arrived. In his memoir, The Greek House, Mr. Brezhnev tells the story of his relationship with the island and its 2,600 residents. It's written with Tim Lovejoy and published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux, and I'm very pleased to welcome Christian Brezhnev to our show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard, and thank you so much for having me.
A reviewer in the New York Times wrote that after he'd read your book, he wanted to drop everything and go to Sifnos, but then he realized that that would require time travel because the Sifnos that you first saw as a 21-year-old in the summer of 1972 had goat trails for roads and lacked even a ferry dock, let alone the yachts that clogged the modern-day harbor. So have the changes since you were there kind of ruined the island?
No. I think it's hard to ruin an island like Sifnos, which is a truly magical place still to this day. But times have changed all over the world. And if I think back of my hometown, Basel in Switzerland, that has changed. I was 21 when I arrived on Sifnos. And when I sold the house in 07, I was quite a bit older, of course. And in all that time, I changed too.
Now, you say your hometown is Basel. You were born in the Congo when it was still a Belgian colony, weren't you?
Yes, my father.
You've lived elsewhere in Switzerland, in London, the United States. So do you really have a hometown?
Well, that's a good question. I feel America is now my home. I've become an American citizen. But when I go back to Basel, which I do frequently, and my parents just passed away, so I don't go that often anymore. But there's something about your old childhood friends, kindergarten friends. I don't have that here. And this is a new world that I created around me and with through my partner largely. And so it's home, but that world of your parents and that walk to the school at that age is a different kind of home.
Well, how did you come to Sifnos in the first place? It wasn't the easiest island to visit in 1972.
I originally wanted to go to a much more difficult island to visit called Simi, which really was in those days extremely, extremely far away. But when I inquired about Simi in Athens, they told me you can just forget going there. There was no connection and very difficult, no food. I should go to Sifnos. And I had.
Was there regular ferry service?
There was just beginning to be a somewhat regular ferry service. But in Greece, a regular ferry service in those days was still a very, very kind of hazardous kind of experience. And in college where I was, in St. Olaf College, there was a Greek girl called Maya Nulu, and her grandmother had a house on Sifnos. So once I heard that name, Sifnos, in Athens, I realized I should go to Sifnos because I even knew somebody there.
Now, it's one of the Cyclades Islands. Where are they located in relation to the mainland, the Greek mainland?
Sifnos is straight south of Athens towards Santorini and Crete. It's a western Cycladic group called Kythnos, Seriphos, Sifnos, and Milos. And that's pretty much straight south, like Patmos or Mykonos go east towards Turkey.
And they are the peaks of a submerged mountainous terrain?
Well, Sifnos is the only one that is truly a little bit mountainous. And that's why, for me as a painter, it had tremendous appeal because it had a very structured landscape, unlike an island like Patmos, for instance, which has an extraordinary monastery on top of a very little hill. But otherwise, it's a flat little island. And Sifnos, there were moments on Sifnos you could even think you're on the mainland.
Well, when you arrived in 1972, Greece was run by a totalitarian state run by the colonels, wasn't it?
It was a dictatorship. But I was so kind of apolitical in those days, even though the Vietnam War shook me a great deal when I was here in 1970 at St. Olaf College. But within Europe, I wanted to paint. I wanted to be in a quiet place. I didn't really care about the colonels.
could you feel their impact in a remote island like Sifnos?
Sifnos still all had the king on every wall. It was quite touching. They were monarchists. And Mr. Papadopoulos really didn't have much of a chance there. There must have been colonel sympathizers on the island. But all in all, I think it was a monarchist island. It was the king had visited Sifnos, and the Sifnos loved their king.
Now, I have been to places that I thought were lovely, but that didn't mean that I would return year after year and then buy a house. What brought you back?
Well, it was a love affair. I really believe that's what I felt the title needed from the book. It wasn't just about a Greek island. It was a love affair with this Greek island, and I fell in love with that island. I wanted to go back. It wasn't a holiday place. It was a workplace. I painted there year after year. I was able to be alone. I could sort out my confused sexuality in a way which suited me. It was a healing place. It was like a giant mother that helped me tight.
When you talk about your confused sexuality, you're gay. And in an island like Sifnos, I'd imagine that could be rather lonely.
Well, it can be lonely all over the world. But it probably...
Well, 2,600 people, unless you bring somebody.
It was very lonely. But it's probably what I needed in those days. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone there. There was some instinct in me told me, go there and be safe.
How did the permanent island residents strike you when you first arrived on the island? Were they welcoming to foreigners?
They were extremely welcoming to foreigners because there were none there. There were very, very few, and they always thought of me, and they told me that later, that I was the first tourist who actually stayed. And once I bought a house, they really loved me. I mean, it was very touching how the local people treated me.
Would this have been different than if you had found a nice little small town on the Greek mainland? Are there different rituals? These islands had been ruled by the Persians at one point. More recently, part of the Ottoman Empire. Did you see that reflected in the customs?
Well, there's something about an island. An island does have that remoteness, that feeling of being away from the world. And maybe I had the need for that kind of distance. Whenever I left Piraeus in those days on that old ferry boat, I felt I could leave the world behind because nothing could reach you there.
Did anyone speak English or did you have to learn to speak Greek?
I had to learn to speak Greek. I mean, there were some few people who spoke English, but I had to learn Greek.
If you hadn't been able to establish much contact with the locals, would you have stayed anyway?
Probably not, because it was the locals that loved more than the island and more than Greece. It was the Sifniots who truly, truly charm you.
Was it as easy to build relationships with women as with men?
Probably not, because I was a young bachelor and the mothers of daughters had sometimes hopes. And that became at times a little bit confusing and difficult. And I never wanted to offend anyone. I never went to bed with anybody from the island. I was extremely cautious to be the proper child.
It's a small island. You were living in an even smaller community, not even the largest community on the island. So everybody must have known everything about your private life anyway.
Well, they do and they don't. They want to, but I was extremely discreet and I was never dealing with anyone from the island itself, with people who lived there. If I had friends come and stay, it was people who came to visit me who were invited.
My guest is Christian Brechneff, who with Tim Lovejoy has written The Greek House, a story of a painter's love affair with the island of Sifnos. When did you realize that the landscape was having an effect on your work and becoming important to your burgeoning career?
I think that first day I landed on Sifnos, I knew this was going to do something to my landscape painting, that this was going to influence me and become this tremendous source of energy and creativity that it was for over 30 years.
Were there other artists working on the island?
Yes. I was definitely not the only painter. There was the famous Greek painter Tetsis, Panayotis Tetsis, who had a house there. There are ports there. writers. Sifnos has a magic creativity, that a magnetism that somehow can really touch you.
What was the reaction in galleries in, let's say, London or New York when you started showing the work that you'd done on the island?
Well, the first show I did was in 1972 in Zurich after the first summer working there, and the show practically sold out. So I had success with those pictures. And, of course, that enhances you to do more. Sometimes that can be very beguiling for an artist or seductive for an artist.
You bought a house. I assume it was a fixer-upper.
Definitely.
How much fixing up did you have to do?
Well, I told my parents that it was a move-in, which was a little bit of a lie, because there was no plumbing, there was no running water. My house actually was one of the very first houses with a flushing toilet.
And when your family and friends came to visit you, were they surprised by what they found?
Well, they did love the house. My family loved the house. I had, by that time that I invited them, fixed the place up. And there was a shower and there was a bathroom. And I had one American friend who, when she arrived, said she had never in her life shared a bathroom. So this was, for her, the first time. And there we are.
Who took care of the place when you weren't there?
I had a wild housekeeper called Chrysoula, who, at least that's what she's called in the book, mm-hmm. and who was a piece of work. But I loved her, and I forgave her for just about all her troubles that she made me.
After a few years, you started a relationship with your current partner, the co-author that I've been mentioning, Tim Lovejoy. Did he also fall in love with the island? Is this book is also about his own experiences coming to the island year after year?
Well, I think we couldn't have written the book the way we did if he wouldn't have loved the island as well. I think he fell in love with the island. It was always my island. It was always my house. But he did love my neighbors. He loved Popey. He loved the old generation of islanders who had that kind of inner glow. They had a magnetism about them that you sort of fell in love with them.
Why did you sell the house, finally?
I stopped painting there. It was like a well that went dry. And once I realized I was not producing art anymore there, and I realized it was actually happening and not just a phase, I ended up fluffing pillows and paying bills and not knowing why I was there.
Was it because the island had changed or just because you had gotten everything you could have gotten out of it?
It's a passage of time. Maybe we all changed and the island certainly changed, but it had a lot to do with me changing.
Well, what would happen if you went somewhere else and found an unspoiled part of the world? Do you think you would fall in love again?
I don't think so. I don't think the unspoiled world does exist anymore because we have phones. We have even going up to Everest, you have your phone. That unspoiledness simply does not exist anymore.
So there are cell phone towers on Sifnos now?
Absolutely, yeah.
And now, as I mentioned, there are yachts that dock there. Was it spoiled for you?
I shouldn't say spoiled. It changed. It gotten bigger. It gotten noisier. I loved it for its peacefulness. You couldn't hear a thing. The nights were deafeningly silent. It was that remoteness that attracted me to the place. I find that now in the Swiss Alps, where I go once in a while.
Now, you haven't shown in New York for a while, but if people want to see some of this work, are there places they can see it?
There's Herschel Nadel Modern that has some of my work, and there are places that you can find me.
And meanwhile, you can also read this book, which is a charmingly told story of finding a place and falling in love with it. It's called The Greek House, the story of a painter's love affair with the island of Sifnos, published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux and written by Christian Brechnev with the help of Tim Lovejoy. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you, Leonard. Honored to be on your show.